Right now, the grammar vandal. We've all cringed at someone's grammatical errors. We've laughed at poorly written advertisements. But for Kelly McCulley, grammatical errors are an obsession. The self-proclaimed grammar vandal became so irritated at misspellings on advertisements and street signs in Boston that she recently took it upon herself to correct them. Can you relate? What aspects of bad grammar drive you to distraction, and are you compelled to correct the offenders? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send us an email to talk@npr.org. And join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Kate McCulley joins us now from the studios of member station WBUR in Boston. Good to have you with us, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're a very intimidating guest, I have to tell you.
Is that so?
Yes, because what if I make a grammatical error while I'm talking to you?
Oh, well, I think I'll be nice enough not to say anything. I'll just blog about it later.
Thanks. Great. Just what I want on a blog. But tell us how you got started in this grammar vandalism.
Well, you know, I've always been picky about grammar, about all things literary. I've been a crazy reader since I was very little. There was one sign in particular that I think pushed me over the edge. You see, right now Reebok is having this Run Easy campaign, signs all over the place saying, hey, don't run too hard, just run easy. And there was a sign right near where I work that said, Run Easy, Boston. And it said, Run Easy, Boston, period. Run Easy, Boston. Not Run Easy, Boston, which easily could have been accomplished by putting a comma after the word easy. By, like, the third time I had seen that sign, I thought I was going to explode. I took out an adhesive comma sticker. I put it after the word easy. I admired my work. I blogged about it on my regular blog, katesadventures.com. I now have a grammar blog, www.thegrammarvandal.com. And my blog took off like you wouldn't believe. There are so many people out there that felt the same way, some even in my office that I haven't even met, that felt the same way about that sign, that it was awful, and who would ever had affixed the comma there was a hero.
So is that what you do now on a regular basis? You go around putting commas on posters all around
Boston?
Well, yes,
commas. I use my Sharpie quite a bit. And sometimes I just don't do anything to the signs. I just take pictures of them and I put them on my blog and offer some commentary.
Why do you call yourself a vandal?
Well, because technically I guess it is considered vandalism to be defacing those signs. I really hope no cops are listening to this.
But, have you ever gotten in trouble for...
Yes.
Yeah? What happened?
Oh, but quite close to that. I was over at Tufts University, and there was the sign for the street called Professor's Row. There was no apostrophe at all. It was just Professor's Row, and I'm sure it didn't mean professors like to row their boats in the river. assuming that this was the row of the professors, there should have been an apostrophe after the S. So I went to fix that sign. I wasn't quite tall enough to reach it, so I found a tall guy on the street and asked him to help me. And as he was fixing it, one of the Tufts University police officers came by and was like, what are you doing? What are you doing to that sign? I'm like, officer, don't you see this is a grammatical error? He started pointing at the guy going, are you two together? Are you together? And the guy just ripped the comma off the sign, handed it to me, yelled sorry, and took off like a bat out of hell.
Well, the question is, are you willing to be arrested for the sake of grammar? That's my question.
Of course I'd be willing to be arrested. I would love to be arrested. I'm a vigilante here. That's what I do.
Have you ever gotten into any dangerous situations trying to correct grammar on a sign? I mean, I don't know, if you had to climb up to high places.
Physical danger. Oh, well, I think that time when I was trying to reach it, I was teetering in 5-inch platform heels perched on a folding chair as well. So that couldn't have been very safe.
You need to do this with sneakers, I think.
Yeah, I might need to take out another insurance policy as well.
Yeah. So why is this so important to you to correct grammar in public places?
Well, you know, the state of our language these days, it's appalling how bad it's gotten. I mean, especially, I think, even since I was born in the mid-80s, you know, it's gotten so terrible. And people are thinking, you know, especially with the age of the internet, it's become easier and easier to ignore grammar and just concentrate on getting the point across. Maybe that is the most important point, but do we really have to sacrifice good grammar for that reason?
Not necessarily, no.
Yeah, I look at bad grammar, and to me, that's a sign of somebody who isn't educated. And the reason why I attack businesses in particular is because I feel, couldn't they hire a copy editor? Is it so hard to hire a copy editor? And what if they did hire a copy editor and these mistakes slip out from under their noses? That's pretty scary.
Well, let's see if we can. We have some calls. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to Vijay, I think it is. He's in DeKalb, Illinois. Vijay, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Grammatically, I was taught to say if somebody is missing, that is, you know, so and so is missing. But lately in all the news, they always say Mr. XYZ is gone missing or the group is gone missing. Is this grammatically correct?
You hear people saying on the news they've gone missing?
Yeah,
see, I haven't heard that.
Like, it's always, like, I know articles in the newspaper, they say so-and-so is gone missing. But the grammatically correct version is somebody is missing.
So that's one of your pet peeves.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, like, as in somewhere around the road, there was an addition in the grammar, you know, in the English grammar class, which I missed.
Kate McCulley, what's your take on that?
You know, I'm sorry to tell you this, BJ, but I think that what you're saying is actually correct in terms of, say, for example, 17-year-old girl gone missing.
Right.
Wouldn't it be correct to say 17-year-old girl eaten by a bear? This isn't a headline. You know, just using the past participle like that, that seems to be correct to me. I think that's correct, and that's fine.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Vijay. Let's go to Brenda in San Francisco. Hi, Brenda.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I guess English language is very important to me because I grew up in England, but one of my biggest peeves is when people qualify the word unique. It either is or it isn't unique. There is no qualifier. I'd be interested in your comments. Thanks. I'll take it off the air.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Brenda. Kate?
So, Brenda, you're talking about in terms of calling someone very unique or a bit unique?
I think
that's
what she's saying, yeah.
You know, I totally agree with that. Either something is unique or it isn't unique at all. Unique is, it's like a superlative. It stands on its own. You can't be just a little bit because it's like calling someone, he's a little the best. You know? That doesn't make sense.
Right. Now, let me ask you something, Kate. Do you correct people when you're in a social situation, if you're having a conversation with somebody and they make a grammatical error, would you correct them?
You know, I knew you were going to go into this. one of my best friends in the world sent me an email the other day saying that, this is funny, this is so her, that Mitt Romney's sons were hot, H-O-T-T.
Uh-huh.
And after she had sent me that email, she sent another one saying, note, I am aware that the word is not spelled H-O-T-T. I just included the extra T to emphasize their hotness. I heard that. I was like, oh, my God, you don't think I'm that bad. Are you afraid to talk to me? Oh, you know, but I got to admit, on the other end, too, I do have a friend who sends out some emails that say you're invited. And she writes Y-O-U-R invited. And once I tried to be a little bit like, you know, sending those out a lot. Should put an apostrophe E on the end, but yeah, you know, trying to gently and casually.
Do you think that grammar is being taught in schools these days the way it used to be when I was growing up anyway, and we had to diagram sentences? And I wonder how much emphasis there is on grammar and spelling now.
You know, it's definitely not the same that it was decades and decades ago. Looking back to my grammar lessons, I'm 22 years old, and I had hardly any grammar lessons. I consider myself largely self-taught. I think the best way to learn grammar is simply to read a lot, especially books that are older.
So you don't think that's a problem, that maybe it's not taught as much in the schools?
You know, it definitely... I mean, how far can you go? You teach them the difference between there, and there, or your and your, and still it doesn't really go as far as it needs to. Well, I think it needs to be cracked down. I think people should crack down on it, definitely.
Let's go to Crystal in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say, I just actually, in relation to what you guys are talking to now, I had a seventh grade teacher, Ms. Deek, so if you're listening, Ms. Deek, at Ondura High School in Boyceville, New York. And she used to give us extra credit if we were to find anything in a magazine, book, you know, et cetera, that was misspelled, that had a grammar mistake. So it just, in my life now, I notice when people make mistakes like that. I've written into the newspaper and I correct my friends all the time. But actually, lately, I was driving on the highway and I went to take a wrong turn. And I kind of corrected myself, and then this guy drove by me blaring his horn. He shouted out his window, "What is youth doing?" And I was like, you know, I just want, I wished I could have said, it's what are you doing? But of course I wasn't able to. I was in the middle of the highway, so.
That would have been an interesting highway exchange.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks so much for your call, Crystal.
Have a good day.
All right, we're going to try and get one more story in here. Let's go to Dave, and he is calling from Goldendale, Washington. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking about the reaction earlier that the campus security guy had to your sign exploit. And, you know, I turned my obsessiveness into a career. I was a copy editor at a newspaper, and I had a new reporter. She was an older lady, had been in the business a while, and the first time she turned something into me and I handed it back just red-soaked, red ink everywhere, she marched into my office, slammed it back on my desk, and said, if I want to learn grammar, I'll go back to third grade.
Oh,
I'm just wondering if you guys get any kind of reaction to that sometimes.
Well, let me tell you, I love that you turned your obsession into a career. I am currently looking for a new job, willing to relocate. So, if anyone wants to employ this grammar vandal, that would be fantastic. But come on, why do people think that it would be too smart? It would make them too smart to be learning about grammar. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I was just trying to help her make her writing better.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, Dave.
You bet.
All right. And Kate McCulley, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kate McCulley is the self-proclaimed grammar vandal. She joined us from WBUR in Boston. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.